is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it
will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Range Wranglers. Just talking with the men on the phone as we're getting ready for this, but we do welcome you here this morning. It is Saturday, July 16th. We're coming to you live from a beautiful, sunny, blue sky, green grass radio ranch. Sure like that in the middle of, or wherever we are in summer, but it sure is nice. So we thank you for being here, and Brother Paul, thank you for joining us. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Tim over in Nebraska. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Remnant, we do. We say good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. We are here at scriptures4america.org. Click on the live audio stream, and that's where we're at. And you can also have the, there's some phone numbers you can call in and listen in, but we are here live. If you want to call us here at the office, 307-745-5913, and we'll do our best to take your call. But going to open up in prayer first, and then we'll go from there. So, Tim, would you open us up in prayer this morning, sir?
I certainly would like to. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, first we just come before your throne, Lord, and we recognize you as Lord, number one, supreme over everything.
Yes.
Nothing happens without your faith, though, God. Lord, we just thank you that, Lord, you saw fit to send your Son to redeem us, Lord. And Lord, we ask that you just remember mercy in the midst of your judgment over these situations, Lord, and remember your people. And Lord, protect them and keep them in. Lord, we know that we thank you for your promises, oh God, that you are faithful in a way that we can't even comprehend. Lord, I just I ask that you bless this broadcast today, Lord, that you would make it fit, and Lord, that you would guard our tongues that we might say things that please and honor you. But Lord, you would forgive us our trespasses, both known and unknown, as a people and as individuals. Lord, I just ask that you would give us clean hands before you, that we might be fit servants for your kingdom. Lord, that we might be able to stand before evildoers, Lord, as we kneel before our God. I just pray that you would grant us every good thing. I think of those that are absent from us this day, Lord, that you would bless them and keep them, and as they do your good work, Lord, that you would benefit them in whatever way that they need that. And I pray that you'd prosper the work of your people's hands, Lord, that they might, even though they're in this captivity and under this yoke, Lord, that they might prosper. That in a way that would astound your enemies, and Lord, benefit us. We just thank you for your presence in our lives daily, and Lord, we just ask that you'd come and be our guest here this day, and we thank you for it. Ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and by his blood we pray it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And again, Remnant, the phone line's open this morning if you'd like to give a call, if you have a comment. And you know, we were mentioning a little bit before the program how hard it is to, Tim, you had mentioned that about the, from the colonial times, you know, we either stand together or hang separately. And it was brought up that, you know, it's tough to sometimes to find people to stand together with. But when you can, and I think that's one of the things that, well, we may not be able to stand together just because we're in three different states, but we do stand together. We're of one mind, one accord. Ecclesiastes 4, a couple of comments out of it, tells us that two people can accomplish more than twice as much as one. They get a better return for their labor. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But people who are alone when they fall are in real trouble. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. And that's just a few scriptures from Ecclesiastes 4, but it reminds us that, you know, in certainly in this spiritual battle that we're in, God is the majority. Jesus Christ is the way. But when we can have those that we can stand with together, those that we can fellowship with together, like it says in Ecclesiastes, there is greater strength with two that are together than one. It says two can stand back to back and conquer, not just survive, but conquer. I think of David's mighty men. You know, when they went down to the, where was it? The well at Bethlehem. And they conquered. They conquered. They went into the midst of those Philistines like nothing you've ever seen in any action or war movie ever. They conquered. And because there were two or three of them. And we have that today. I think that's as true and both in the spiritual and the physical. You know, when we can come together as Christian men, and that's kind of what we focus on at times, that there is, you know, there is a greater strength there. You know, when Jesus, when he called his disciples together, it wasn't just the disciple. It was plural. There were several of them. At times, just a couple, two or three, but at times more than that. And they learned, I think, to even though they had disagreements, they learned to stand together, to work together for the common good. Anyway, that was just on my mind this morning, that and I think it, you know, that was one of the reasons so many years ago, Pastor came up with or the thought occurred to him, or however it worked out. But for the DVD church, for the live streaming from church, before anybody else was really doing any live streaming, and it was for that fellowship, so people could gather with like-minded Christians. And I like to think that that's part of what we do on the live programs, especially on the Saturday morning coffee, that we get together with our coffee and our Bibles, and we can talk about things with at least somewhat of a biblical understanding. And and you know, if we offend, well, we can either we just hope we're forgiven if we offend in unbiblical ways. If we offend in biblical ways, well, maybe that's just how it is. Sometimes we do run across things that are you know, people's understanding might be a little bit different as we go through these scriptures. So anyway, that was just a couple thoughts this morning. Plenty going on out there. Boy, the world is just continues to be in chaos. I don't know if anybody had anything they wanted to lead off with this morning.
Well, I know one thing. Don't take it personal. Oftentimes, it is written. You can argue with God if you want to, but it is written. But see, in my opinion, really don't make any difference. But when you use the sword of the Lord, which is the Word, they can't argue with it. And they can go ahead and try, but it just don't work. And then that's a key to, for me to have peace in my life, is don't take it personal. You know, their offense is really against God, and it's not you. You know, especially when you know, God says, when you start living my way, you will be hated. They hated me and are going to hate you, because we're offensive to them, because they're living a lie and we're living the truth. Not that we're perfect or anything, but that's why I say it is written, you know, that in a good book says. People don't like Bible thumpers no more, so I sell the good book says. And I don't know, I just think that takes a little edge off some things, because, you know, you have these Bible thumpers come down and with no brains at all, actually. So, and then we got to think of Elijah, the prophet, that thought he was the only one, and then there's 3,000. And that's the real deal. There's more out here than we know. And I always said that some people that you think will fall apart, and some people that you don't think will come forward, you know, because people that are grounded in the Word don't talk a lot like they used to. I'm talking to myself, you know. I remember way back when I was starting to get enlightened, you know, and I said to my brother, I said, I'm going to get a rocking chair and a bottle of wine and just wait till they're ready to hear, you know, because they didn't want to hear back then. And I think we have a little better audience coming up, but because their world is falling apart. You know, we've traded Uncle Sam for God. You know, Uncle Sam has nothing to offer, didn't take from somebody else. And we turned to God. I look at these fields with all these big irrigation things. I remember they used to have prayer meetings for rain. Now they got wells sucking the water, the aquifer out where you live, Sam. And even here, I've got a spring that runs out the side of my hill. It's the first year there's no water because there's housing developments around here, and they're pulling the water out of the ground. There's no pressure on it. So, anyway, that's my thoughts. Probably carried on a little too long.
No, I thought it was great, and I agree. I mean, and there definitely is. It's interesting to. One of the things I got to say real quick is I just always enjoy getting on here and when we talk, because it's so interesting how the week progresses. And it's like a summary show sometimes for me, and I know we've talked about it before, but for everybody else, because it's like, oh yeah, that happened this week, or oh wow, that just go right up into this and fits perfect, you know. I mean, it's like, and that's the power of God. I mean, that's what it is. He brings those things in, and after a while, you get to the point you recognize it. You know, you see things going on for the week, and you're like, oh yeah. here's something that's going to fit in, you know, or here's something that matters. I mean, take a note, you know, but, yeah, exactly. And those gods, they set themselves up, those little g gods or false gods, they set themselves up into those positions. And, you know, now they're putting meters on these guys' irrigation wells, and they only let them use so much water, or they fine them. And now they're talking about selling them the water out of their own ground, out of their own well, you know, to irrigate with, and make them buy water rights. And it's like God's way was so much better, wasn't it? You could pray for rain, and it rained, and if you did need a little, you could use your sprinkler to compensate, you know, but no, not anymore. It's a diminishing returns when you serve that little G God. And as far as what we were talking about other people and knowing sometimes who you can work with or who you can make progress with, or trust, I guess, is the right word, in the kingdom of God. You know, Peter and I were talking one time, and Pastor, and it was like, why this person or that person, and they would come in and stab you in the back and do different things. And I said, I don't understand. And he said, well, he said, that's my job. That's what I do. He said that, you know, in God's way of doing things, they all have a chance. They all have that, and that person that's coming in there that's that way may be a person who is about to, you know, is called. God brought him in and is giving them that chance to repent and to get involved and to get right. And I have to be there to give them that opportunity, you know, and it really gives you that, oh, yeah, that's true. I mean, if not you, who? You know, so, and some don't. I mean, you know, it's definitely a situation.
Yeah, we sure see that. But, we do at times, you know, we do. We do. Well, the...
You know, I walk... Go ahead.
No, Paul, go ahead.
No, I look around and I look at people, you know, and I think of that Ezekiel, the valley of the dry bones, and I'm looking at people that basically are spiritually dead. They're still moving and stuff, but I just think that that's relevant, that they're walking around, you know, and God's going to blow life back into them, and then he's going to destroy our enemies. And that I don't know, that has always just been in my mind for a long, long time. It seems, I know it's closer than it was, but that's what you're dealing with. And then Israel will know who I am once and for all. I can't wait for that day. But I'm telling you, there is so biblically ignorant around you. They have no clue as to what's going on. You know, they think it's going to get better. Well, let me tell you, God's going to have the final say in this, and he's going to wake people up. And it will be so awesome that nobody will even... He don't need us, folks. He just don't need us. But we are listening to his word. So that's all I can say.
Yeah, he wants to use us. And he wants us to be useful to him in all this. Because that absolutely is. It's the time that we're in. You know, and when we read through the Old Testament, there were so many times when God would bring the prophet or the fig seller, you know, whoever it was on the scene. The people didn't know who they were. They had, within just a generation or two, and we're several generations into it, but the people all throughout the Old Testament, within a generation or two, they forgot who they were. Embrace the, what's the Bible talk about, the ways of the East, the soothsayers of the East, and the false idols and the false gods, and that was who got credit. That was who they prayed to for rain and fertility, and when God raised up someone to tell them who they were, to drive them to repentance, to bring them back to Him, some did, some didn't. The ones that did are the ones that survived, the ones that lived. Even if they went into captivity, as like Daniel and those people did, but they survived and thrived and were blessed as time went on. And Paul, I agree with you. You know, I yearn for that day to come here, to you know, for people to realize who they are, that this word is written to them. Not to, you know, some Jesus Christ denying people over in a sandbox, like so much of the, well, all of the Judeo-Christian world pushes and promotes. It just doesn't make sense, you know, when you really look at it. If you try to apply this Bible and what is happening and what has happened, you know, to the wrong people. As Pastor Peter's put out so many times, it's a case of mistaken identity. And it's not, you know, the Bible's not a 30-second soundbite, and that's how so many of our people, what they have been accustomed to today, right? Whether it's the zooming through the radio or satellite radio in their cars as they're driving, or flipping through the channels when they're sitting in front of the boob tube with the remote, and 497 channels on 16 different cable, it just is never ending. And it's the people are used to, they have been conditioned to that 30-second, if it's even 30 seconds anymore, soundbite. And that's not how the Bible is. The Bible is an instructions for life, and you don't get that in a 30-second soundbite. You don't.
Well, you think people have a very short attention span, you know. In the Book of Proverbs, is very powerful. Them one line liners, if you think about them, there's just a huge amount in Proverbs, and they're very pivotal if you're listening. And another thing, I hate that word Old Testament. I think it should be the Original Testament, because people think, oh, well, we don't need that. We want new. But it's the Original Testament and the Enlightened Testament. And I don't know who named it the Old Testament, but it's the Original Testament. And if you don't know the Original Testament, the foundation, Genesis, you'll never understand the rest of the book. I was raised in a church that taught the Abrahamic covenant, but they taught we were Gentiles grafted in. But once you really know the players, that all fit perfectly.
Yes.
You know, but I was raised in, they taught the Abrahamic covenant that was big to them, but they were just Gentiles grafted in. So it was, like you said, it was mistaken identity. But once you know who you are, it's a whole new book.
Yes.
You know, and see, we're the only race that's compassionate. We're the only place that sends missionaries and relief to other countries. No country's ever come to aid us. And we just kind of expect it. We're just that way. We're giving people for the most part, unless become double-minded and come like our enemies. You know, there's people that choose to leave God's way, you know, and then they have to live with it. But some of us are just flat mistaken. So that's
amen. Well,
yeah,
it's it's an answer. Micah 6:8 tells us, O people, the Lord has already told you what is good, and this is what He requires: to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And, you know, as a nation, as a government, we don't always see that. But as a people, you get down to the, you know, how many times do you hear about it? Small town America, you know, at the rodeos, at the 4-H groups, at the local small churches at times, the local communities. You see that. You see them at least trying to do this, to do what is right, to love mercy, to care for one another. I think that's what you know, ties right in with what you're talking about, Paul, is that our people, they meet these I don't want to say requirements, but it's they have this law written on their heart. They do these things without realizing so many times that they are the instructions from God to His people. O people, it doesn't say O people of the world. No, the when you read that in Micah, it is Israel. It is Israel that he is talking to, and you know, it was his people he required to walk humbly before him, and it was his people that he told to love mercy, righteousness, justice, those things, it is like you said, once you realize who the right players are, then that changes everything. It does. It changes everything. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open.
Well,
307-745-5913. Paul, go ahead.
Look at how the other nations rule. They rule from the top down. You know, the most strongest go to the top, and it is just power. You know what I mean? Where America was founded as a republic. Now, they tell us we're a democracy. Democracy is mob rule. That means the trouble with a democracy, 51% of the people can be wrong. Where in a republic, the law stands, and all law was based on God's law.
Yes.
If you go back in American history, it was based on God's law. All them verses were in the Supreme Court, and they vetched them all out. And I've seen a new silver dollar, and it's got a oak branch for strength. Well, if you look at the symbol of the American, he's got the 13 arrows in one talon and the olive branch in the other. So there's grace and mercy right there, but they're trying to take all of that away from us. If you said that symbol of the American was all based, there's 13 tribes, which is the 12 tribes of Israel, but Joseph had Ephraim and Manasseh, and that's why there's 13 arrows in that quiver and his talon, but that was all based on the Bible, and our founders knew all this, and we were a republic and not a democracy. Democracy always go down violently.
Yes.
Always.
Yes, and this nation knew that. The government in this nation knew that. We've sent, I would say, thousands out. It's a little Department of Defense publication on types of government, just a little double-fold small document on the dangers of democracy. And even in the 1930s, when this got put out, this country understood that. And this country understood that it was a republic. But those an enemy has done this, is the thought that occurs to me. This change in thought, change in words. George Orwell's 1984 is a great job, does a great job of explaining out how that happens and what happens. But, you know, before World War II, the people in this nation understood they were a Christian republic, and they understood those things. And that has been changed. That has been replaced with, as you said, Paul, a democracy, which is a demonocracy. It's mob rule, and the mob can be manipulated. And we see that in our society today. But it was understood back then, even in the auspices of the government offices, the Department of Defense and those things. We'd be glad to send that to you. We've got that. I don't think I've got one back here with me, back here in the broadcast room. If you could see my desk here, it's got a little bit of everything, but I don't think I've got that. But it's democracy, the democracy document by the Department of Defense, and it does, and you know what that lets you know, folks, is that, you know, we're not just pulling this stuff out of the air. We're trying to remind and teach and point you in the right direction, that this nation has a Christian foundation, and in all the aspects of this nation, it has a Christian foundation, even to the point that the Department of Defense just less than 100 years ago was warning about the type of government that is pushed and promoted today in this land. And that, like you said, Paul, the type of Christian government that was formed in this nation was from the bottom up, from the, you know, it from the pulpits and the churches and the families is where it starts, and then it goes from there, and not from the top down. But an enemy has done this, has changed our words. You know, they've changed love. Love anymore, when you think about love, is just dog lust in society. They have no idea the meanings of these words, liberty and freedom. They're just words anymore, with no understanding of what it costs to have them and what it means.
How I got involved with this ministry was that there was an ad for authority, obedience, or resistance, and I sent for that. That's how I got involved with this ministry, because I was really struggling. What was, you know, I figured out the steeple house I was in, I didn't have no ground wire, so I was looking for it, and I was struggling bad. And then I got to know Pastor Peters, but I knew the Bible really good back then, and I didn't really like the guy at first. He kind of rubbed me the wrong way, but I had the problem. He was telling the truth, and I just couldn't let it go, and I'm still here. So but sometime when you're living a lie, the truth rubs you the wrong way, and that can happen to anybody. And then the difference is whether you're humble enough to accept the truth. You know, and when you read the Bible, it's the end of the matter. They don't. Most religions try to make the Bible fit their philosophy. But the Constitution was written to bind government, and that allowed for the different denominations, because we don't all see things the same way.
Right.
And we got to think of that, because our neighbors and stuff, you know, they just never see things exactly the way we do, and that's okay, because God made them that way.
Right.
And in the even evil person, we talk about the devil made us do it. Some lady I know said that several times. I said, no, he didn't. You let him, you know. He's always tempting you. He's always dragging you away, but he has no power over that you don't give him. He was beat at the cross. He's done.
Amen.
And he's trying to devour whoever he can at the moment, but he is done, and he has no power over it we don't give. So,
well, guys, let's...
That makes sense.
I think it does. Let's try the phone lines here, see the phone ringing. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi, brothers. I just have a couple thoughts. The Lord reminded me this week how important the scripture that Pastor Peters put on the newsletter, and it's Isaiah 27:1. In that day, the Lord in his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. And that sums it all up, what we're dealing with right now. We're dealing with admiralty law, bar attorneys, and we're dealing with a government that works off of assumptions, presumptions, and color of law. And we must go, in my mind, go back to the Torah, because they're trying to keep us in a bankruptcy with these bar attorneys, and we have to apply a Torah as the Lord leads. Now, when I was first saved, I went after the bad guy, and the bad guy was me, and I had to deal with that. So the scripture that I'm starting out with, because I want to go after the bad guy, but it looks like the Lord is going to do it. If we repent, get right, and there's a scripture the Lord keeps reminding me of, Romans 11:32, for God has concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. So I think what your brothers are bringing up here is right, in the sense that we have to know who we are. We have to return to the covenant and do our duty.
Amen.
So I just wanted to bring that up and remember that the Lord is reminding me that the Lord repents. If we look up the scriptures, how many times in the Old Testament the Lord repents, starting out with Jeremiah 18:8. So that's just my thoughts, and I hope bring clarity. All right. Thank you.
Well, thanks, caller. Yeah, you know, even in the secular world, they talk about that. You know, I sought the enemy, and the enemy is me. It's not the Jews' fault, the problems we have in this land. It's not the blacks' fault. It's not the minorities' fault. It's not the Russians' fault. It's not the Venezuelans' fault that are pouring across the southern border. It's not their fault. It's ours. It's yours and mine and our fathers and our forefathers, that we have grown, as Deuteronomy, as the Song of Moses says. What is that, Deuteronomy 32? Yeah, Deuteronomy 28 talks about the curses and the blessings, but Deuteronomy 32 says, thou have grown fat. You have grown fat and kicked. And that's what we've done. We have that saying, we have grown fat and happy. It's just we ain't happy no more. We're just fat. And as a people, and I'm not talking about in physical, although that does apply some. That's not what it's talking about. You know, we have grown fat and lazy. And in doing things, wanting to do things our way. And, you know, the only solution is to return to God, return to the God of the Bible. But you have to understand who you are, I think, or at least I think that goes a long way to in that repentance, in that returning to Him. You know, he talks about returning to the Torah, not returning to anything Jewish, but the law. And so, you know, I'll agree with that. We do need to return to the law. You know, when we do that, the law is good for those that are righteous. And we are to return to, because that is part of what the word is. And because we haven't. We are living, we are experiencing the stories, once again, the experiences of those that have come before us, that we read throughout the scriptures. It doesn't mean anything to the average American, because he thinks it applies to somebody else and not to them. Boy, the Lion King, you know, that cartoon, I don't know if everybody saw it. It's been years ago, but that story that tells a story. It's one of those things that the enemy does. They tell their story. You know, that this that was supposed to be king of the jungle, he's just hanging out eating bugs and just chilling, right? Just easy. He's just out and how do we apply that today? Oh, he's out just not worry and be happy. Don't worry, be happy. That's what he's doing, right? Hakuna Matata. He's just out getting drunk on a plane. He's just out, you know, loving that bar. I love this bar. That's what he's doing, and not living up to his responsibilities. And that's where we are as a people, just chilling, just taking it easy, growing fat and happy, kicking, and it just is tumbling down. It's ending. And it needs to. It needs to.
You know, they tell me when I was a little kid, that dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. That's like, was it was Elijah or that thought he was the only one? You got to be dare to stand alone, but I'm saying there's more out there. And I think when you state truth now, people are grasping it more than they ever did, you know, because they were living a lie. This whole country's lived a lie. They've had it easy, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, well, and, you know, our forefathers had an understanding of that, and the enemy works in predictable ways once you begin to understand it. The first thing you do is assassinate someone's character. And then if they're saying something that's true and honest and right, well, you have to assassinate the character. We've seen them do it with people down through history. If you study non-revisionist history, they attack their character, and then anything they say becomes dross. You know, John Adams said that our Constitution was made only for moral and religious people and is wholly inadequate for the government of any other. Will Rogers was another statement. He said, remember, democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself. There never was a democracy yet that did not commit suicide. And, you know, they in order to bring about this change of times and this change of thought, you know, and then we've got old Jimmy Carter. He's over there, and he's kind of on the other side of the lineup. And one of his quotes that I always thought was such a telling one was that he said, well, we can't equate democracy with Christianity because the largest democracy on earth is in India, which is primarily Hindu. The third largest democracy is Indonesia, which is Islamic. Democracy and freedom are not dependent on Christian belief. I think that's a totally accurate statement, but what does that have to do with our republic? You know, people just don't, it's all about your understanding of things. I mean, I just, you know, when you begin to look at those sort of things, it's like, well, we're not that. So how come that can be that way? But how can this? And I told someone here the other day. They said, well, you know, I'd like to do Christianity. That's what they said. But you know, the Bible just has so many, it's so many conflicting points of view. And I said, yeah, the Bible's not in conflict. You are.
Right.
You know, you're, if you see something there that seems like it conflicts itself, it's because of you, not because of that. And you're not looking at it the right way around. You're not standing in the right place, or your understanding is incomplete. So you take that on faith and move along. You'll get there. You know, I mean, give yourself some time. But they do the same thing with, you know, with arguments. It's like these days, it's like, well, both of you are right. You know, it's never, no, you're wrong. You know, that's right. I mean, judge the matter. But when you accept both sides as being that way, you've changed where your position is. You know what I mean? And not necessarily in a good way. But when you understand those things in God's plan and purpose, it is a change in a good way, because you've now come into an alignment with his plan and purpose. So it's not a question of understanding the argument as much as it is as understanding the operating paradigm that God has created. And it doesn't really matter what you think. It matters what God thinks. So, you know.
Yeah, and that's completely, that has been completely thrown out the window. You know, even in this public fool system today, you know, 2 + 2 = 5, and that's okay with them. Well, that's because, you know, little Leroy, you know, he doesn't understand the concept, and so in his mind, it is 5 because there's an extra one here, or 2 + 2 = 3, and the reason it's that is there's just not enough to go around, and blah, 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 and even math is just whatever you think. It's instead of, like you said, what is right and what is wrong. That has just been thrown out the window. The Bible talks about if the foundations be destroyed. Well, guess what, America? Guess what? They are crumbling. They are crumbling. They are the enemy, those that hate God and hate those that love God, they are doing their best to destroy this foundation. And they're doing a pretty good job of it. They are. Lots going on. I wanted to make mention, we mailed out Volume 6 of the Dragon Slayer newsletter on Thursday. Thursday? Wednesday, actually. Yeah, Wednesday. Mailed it out Wednesday. And so let us know when you get it. If there's any problems, sometimes they get ripped up in the post office, their machinery, and who knows. We'll be glad to send you another one, but it seems like that has decreased in the past and recently, so that's a good thing. But let us know when you get Volume 6. And the main article is just part of the introduction to Colonel Moore's book, The Gog-Magog Alliance. And I've been trying to talk about this book because it is pertinent to world events today. It really is. It was written in the late 90s as, you know, Colonel Moore, it was an updated revision of a closer look at Ezekiel 38:39. That's what it talks about. And but you know, in the 90s, it was Bosnia and Lebanon that were the that was where the events of the world were focused, and that's what was going on then. Well, it's, you know, same stuff, different day, you might say, with the events of today and the events of about every 6 to 10 years since then. And so if you do want to have a greater understanding of what's going on, Colonel Moore does a great job in explaining it scripturally. The book is as much scripture as it is anything else. And it does. It's a reference type of book to where you can see, oh, that's what's going on. That's what was going on in 97 in Bosnia with then President Clinton. And it creates a principle. It lets you see the principle of then what's going on today. And as well as Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq, and what has happened in other places as well. And so I encourage, you know, we have got just part of the introduction in as a main article in this newsletter. And I would encourage you, when you combine this Gog-Magog Alliance for Understanding, as well as the book War is a Racket, the speech given in the 1930s by Smedley Butler, who was a retired Marine colonel, major, something like that, it helps with the insight. It really does. And so we're doing our part. We're letting you know about it. We're making it available while we have them. And so I did want to just put the plug in for that before we ran out of time this morning. Again, because it gives this Gog-Magog Alliance book by Colonel Moore, it gives a biblical, scriptural reference and a biblical, scriptural understanding. It does. Boy, so much going on in the world and in the land. I don't think in our program, if we'd have started at the very beginning, we could have covered just even the highlights. I thought one thing that was pretty ironic that's going on, and that is Starbucks is closing stores in Portland and Philly and Seattle and L.A. and D.C. because they are deemed unsafe. They can't keep their people safe. They can't keep the stores from being robbed and vandalized. And so they're just backing out. They're just closing stores in these cities. And I just thought that's pretty ironic because, you know, they were the ones about 8 years ago saying, we're going to have 1,000 immigrants run our stores. And they have been left-wing, liberal, Democrat-pushing type of organization, and it's just ironic, I think, that they're, you know, that they say one thing, but they are realizing that they cannot stay in those places.
And it sounds like they're having problems with their services and stuff too, you know, as far as I know I was reading there, and I don't know whether that's just a feint of hand or not, but they can't keep the water on, and they can't keep this going, and they can't keep that going. And they had those people double masking and triple masking,
yeah,
and just all kinds of things.
Yeah, it's not just one thing. It's not just crime, but it's the crime, the homelessness, the vandalism, the services that in downtown areas are not dependable anymore. They're just not.
Yeah.
And I think that go ahead, Tim.
Another thing that goes along with some of the things that go on there that I think is interesting and significant is the military just came out, the Pentagon came out with some numbers, and their talking about losing upwards of, they say, 13% of their fighting forces are at risk of discharge because of the refusal to take their vaccinations. And then they turn around and go in, and the long and short of the article is they go into the fact that the National Guard has, you know, 30,000 people, and then there's civilian contractors that are refusing it. The 13% number is a best-case scenario. I mean, you know, they're minimizing it so that other people aren't emboldened as a result of it, but it's more like total numbers, you know, probably up in the 30% mark, and they're talking about these people being woke against their vaccinations and everything, and I think that I just speaking about people waking up, I just think that it's very interesting to me. You know, that's a, you don't just find that on the front page news.
No,
you know, but
no, not at all.
You know, there's people all across this land that are gone, and the problem with them getting, and I love the work of the word of the use of the word woke, you know, yeah. Awake,
yeah.
And There's people waking up, you know. I mean, they may not be wide awake, but they're definitely waking up.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're starting to ask questions. They're starting to say, hey, this isn't right. And I think that that's just a, that's a power of God. They're waking up all across this land. And the only answer is found in their Bible.
That's right.
Know? So, We're getting there.
I mean, amen. And I had somebody ask me the other day, what could go wrong? Because this decrease in the military, I've heard that. I had a neighbor say something to me about it. And he said, what could go wrong? A massive, like you're saying, up to a third reduction in our military and less than 72 hours in our strategic oil reserves. What could go wrong, right? What could go wrong? When you read about, I've sure been seeing this bouncing around, social media, and been getting it on emails like crazy, but these rules of war, cut off the supply chains, hit the fuel lines, cause strife and division, affect the transportation. 60,000 truckers, it looks like because of this SB5, something out in California, 60,000 truckers not allowed to drive and pick up and deliver in California anymore. Create diseases. All these rules of war. Man, what could that be? But like you said, Tim, people are waking up to it. Well, guys, we are out of time. Thank you so much for taking time out of your Saturday morning to join us. Tim and Paul and Remnant, we thank you for joining us. We encourage you. We invite you to church. Join us tomorrow morning starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the West Coast, and right there at scriptures4america.org. We'll have a scriptural insight. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth. I've got the message tomorrow, so join us if you want, but a live message and communion, fellowship. We hope you'll join us, and we'll see you there.
Rolling, 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 this country stolen, keep on rolling over Snake High. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, Snake High.
Disapproving, keep on moving over Snake High. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.